You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. And we return here. It is Purple Friday here on Locked On Ravens and the 400th episode of Locked On Ravens that I have hosted and produced. So it's a milestone here on Locked On Ravens, a milestone episode, I guess. And we have a ton to talk about today on this episode, just because, again, even though we're kind of in a dull period right now, there's a lot to talk about within the off season. Jeff Zriebeck of The Athletic put together a little bit of a report of players that he did not expect Baltimore to retain in 2021 based off of their 2020 performance. So talking about that in the first segment, just who those players are, why he feels that way, and why I agree with him on the players he selected. Then in the second and third segments, as promised, we'll be talking about mock drafts that I received via Twitter on Sunday, because we had so many. We had so many that throughout the week we've been diving into each and every mock draft, and it gives us an opportunity to go through different players, go through different trades, and just see what the mindset is right now of fans, of other people, because it's not just fan mock drafts. You know, the Draft Network puts out their mock drafts, and for example, people like Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper put out their mock drafts. So everybody right now is just a guessing game. We don't know what positions teams are going to sign in for agency. That's going to have a big impact ultimately on what all these teams do when it becomes draft time. So talking about all of that in the second and third segments, the drafts we received from Twitter on Sunday. So again, in the first segment, we'll be talking about the players that Jeff Zriebeck of The Athletic potentially sees not returning to Baltimore in 2021. And then in the second and third segments, we'll be getting into some more mock drafts that we received on Twitter on Sunday. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here and we'll talk about those three players that Jeff Zriebeck of The Athletic does not see returning to Baltimore in 2021. Now, he did not by any means say that they are not returning to Baltimore. There is still a chance. Again, no one really knows what's going on inside all of these organizations right now, but we do know that the organizations are working very hard to identify what guys they're interested in bringing back, what guys they might not want back on the team in 2021, and stuff of that nature right now. So the three players that Jeff Zriebeck highlighted were Dez Bryant, Matt Skura, and DJ Fluker. And honestly, I can make a case for all these guys in terms of why I don't see them returning to Baltimore. Again, nothing set in stone yet. The one who I think has the highest likelihood of not returning to Baltimore is Matt Skura. But for Bryant and Fluker, they also might not return for a multitude of reasons. So let's start off here with Dez Bryant. Bryant is someone who was signed to Baltimore's practice squad a little less than halfway through the season, worked his way up to the active roster, got some playing time, only had 6 receptions on 11 targets for 47 yards. He also scored twice. He caught 64.5% of the balls that were thrown his way, but only averaged 7.8 yards per game. And for Bryant, I think he wants to go somewhere, or at least I would assume he might want to go somewhere that has more of an opportunity for him. The Ravens are obviously a run-heavy offense. Dez Bryant showed flashes, it seemed, in practice and even during the games that warranted him some more looks from Lamar Jackson and from the Ravens offense. And he was one of the players who earlier in the offseason seemed very frustrated with Greg Roman and with the offensive play calling, because he posted those practice clips on his Instagram and it showed him dominating. It showed him getting up on players like Marlon Humphrey and pulling in contested catches over guys. He was really doing work in practice, and that did not translate over to the games because it just did not seem like the Ravens were utilizing his skill set. And so again, only averaging 7.8 yards per game, I think Bryant was really grateful for the opportunity to play football again in Baltimore. I mean, he said he loved the organization and he was so thankful and appreciative, and I think all those words are true. But at the same time, Bryant has to do what's best for himself and his career. If there are other interested teams out there who have a better pass-heavy offense and he wants more opportunities, sure, I can see Dez Bryant leaving for sure. I think he did what he set out to do in 2020, and that was to prove to the NFL that he is here to stay. He didn't go anywhere. He's still that dominant receiver. And I think he did that in 2020, although he did not have the most opportunities in a Baltimore Ravens uniform in 2020. So I could see Dez Bryant leaving. I could also see him re-signing. I don't think that it's a given that Dez Bryant is gone. But at the same time, does Baltimore view Dez Bryant as a part of their future? We'll just have to wait and see. And then for Matt Skura and DJ Fluker, yeah, these are two that I really don't see returning. I agree with what Jeff Zhrebek had to say here, and the fact that I think that these two guys really underperformed during the 2020 season. Matt Skura coming off that gruesome leg injury that he suffered against the Los Angeles Rams in 2019 after playing at a pretty Pro Bowl level, really, really high level for Matt Skura during the 2019 season. I mean, he really impressed me during that 2019 season, and then a lot of people were expecting a lot of great things out of him when he returned in 2020, and it was just a disaster. The snap issues, the bad blocking, not getting to his assignments at points, letting guys run past him. I mean, there are a lot of things that went wrong with Matt Skura's 2020 campaign, and it's nothing against Matt Skura, the person. He is doing a lot of great things in the community, but as a football player, I just don't think the Ravens need to bring back Matt Skura, especially after the sharp regression that he showed in 2020. And then Fluker is someone who the Ravens brought in to be that backup swing tackle guy. And with the injury to Ronnie Stanley, he was pushed into some major playing time alongside with Tyree Phillips. And I think the two of them performed about as well as they could, but Fluker struggles with speed rushers, and he's a mauler in the run game, but, you know, we saw some holdings from him when it didn't really seem like a bunch of things were going in Fluker's way in some instances, and then in other instances, he was playing really well. It was kind of an up-and-down year. But the whole thing with reshaping the offensive line for the Ravens, that's a key point that both John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta have brought up this offseason already in terms of how they plan to improve the team. I mean, here we have a team that is looking to go out and make some acquisitions from centers to maybe some more tackles as well, depending on what happens with Orlando Brown Jr. Part of improving that offensive line, you have to make subtractions as well from the team in 2020 who did not perform well and bring in those acquisitions to replace them to hopefully play better in 2021. And Skura and Fluker are two of the main guys I see Baltimore doing that with, because I don't think there's any way Matt Skura starts in 2021 in a Baltimore Ravens uniform, starts on the field, or just starts the year in a Baltimore Ravens uniform. I think he's signing elsewhere in free agency, but I think that Skura is going to go someplace where he thinks he has a shot at winning the battle. And maybe he thinks that in Baltimore, and maybe Baltimore brings him back. Again, there's not a lot that we all know at this point in the offseason, but still, the way that Skura played in 2020, I just can't justify bringing a guy like that back who had snap issues throughout the entire season. People blamed it on this cut on his thumb or something, and then it just continued to be a bad thing, and the blocking wasn't great either. And then for Fluker, same thing. I mean, performed decently well, but there were a couple issues for him that I think ultimately Baltimore would like to move on in a different direction. And again, maybe they don't. Maybe they do value Fluker and what he brings and they want to bring him back. But at the end of the day, those three players in Bryant, Skura, and Fluker are prime candidates to start the 2021 season elsewhere and not return to the Ravens in 2021. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be getting into some mock drafts we received on Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. There's a flash sale right now for the Coconut Puff Bar. It has luscious chocolate and soft marshmallow. There's 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 6 grams of sugar. It's gluten-free, preservative-free, and it's a limited time only one-day sale. So order now to be sure to get your Coconut Puff Bar from Built Bar. And we return here with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about three players that Jeff Zriebeck of The Athletic potentially does not see returning to Baltimore in 2021. But now we're going to get into some more mock drafts from Twitter that we received on Sunday to kind of round out the week here. And we're going to start off with one from Josh Porter that I actually got through Instagram. And in his mock draft, he took Jalen Phillips, the edge out of Miami, at pick number 27. Leon Eichenberg at number 58, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Quincy Roche at 104, the edge from Miami. Marvin Wilson, a defensive tackle from Florida State at 131. Trey McKitty at 169, a tight end from Georgia. Paris Ford, the safety from Pittsburgh at 184. And Dez Fitzpatrick, 211, the wide receiver from Louisville. This is a really good draft in terms of need for Baltimore outside of one. I think that if you replace one of the edge players, so either Jalen Phillips or Quincy Roche, with either a guard or a center, I think that that would make it a very good, you know, hit on all the needs draft for Baltimore, because the Ravens are going to need to retool the interior of their offensive line. And so I think they're going to do that through one free agency, but also through the draft. And so with this draft here, there is no center, there is no guard, but it does have a lot of other needs that Baltimore does, frankly, need. The edge players, the offensive tackle, depending on whether Orlando Brown Jr. leaves or not. The defensive tackle, because the Ravens' defensive line is getting a bit up there in age. The tight end for those three tight end sets. The safety to put in to this defense, and also Dez Fitzpatrick, who might be my favorite wide receiver in this entire draft. I'm not saying draft Dez Fitzpatrick in the first round, but I think he's going to be an absolute steal, and his skill set fits what the Ravens need. So I do like this draft from Josh here. Again, maybe taking a guy like Elijah Vera Tucker at 27, or you could maybe get a Drake Jackson at 104. Maybe that's a bit early for Jackson, but still, kind of that guard center potential. Or maybe you take the tackle you take at 58 and move that down to 104, and then you can take a guy like Creed Humphrey or Landon Dickerson at pick 58 while still getting Jalen Phillips, who is a really good pass rusher. So this is a good draft. I'm not saying it's not a good draft, but I do think the Ravens will take at least one guard or one center in this 2021 draft. Next, we have two drafts from Time to Fly, my guy. The first of which, where he takes Shavon Morrig at pick number 27, Terrace Marshall Jr., wide receiver from LSU at 58, Ben Cleveland, the offensive guard from Georgia at 104, Dante Smith, offensive tackle from East Carolina at 131, Janarius Robinson, the edge from Florida State at 169, Tamarian Terry, wide receiver from Florida State at 184, and Trey Brown, corner from Oklahoma at 211. And he puts a note on here that says, safety to me is the most underrated need or upgrade. A free safety on defense would elevate the corner play and help Patrick Queen. And I agree with this. I agree with this take. I think safety is a very underrated need. And again, I think a lot of people are taking the safety need as something where everybody's saying Deshaun Elliott isn't good enough. That's not what I'm saying in the slightest, and I know that's not what a lot of people are implying when they say the Ravens need a free safety. Deshaun Elliott is a strong safety. His skill set is that of a strong safety. The issue is that Chuck Clark is also a strong safety. So how can the Ravens work with this if they do bring in a free safety in the 2021 draft or in 2021 free agency, which I think they should, and Morrig is a safety who I think should really help this team if he is drafted, but I still think the Ravens could use and should use, if that's the case, a lot of three safety looks. You could put Chuck Clark at inside linebacker, kind of that dime backer position, and then use Deshaun Elliott at strong safety, and then Morrig or whoever it is at free safety. And then for Terrace Marshall Jr., again, I do think first or second round is a bit early for a receiver, but there is no denying that Marshall Jr. is an electric, athletic freak. Someone who would help Baltimore's offense a lot, but again, I might switch maybe 169 and 58 in terms of pick needs, in terms of positions that were picked. And maybe if Carlos Basham is available, I'd take him instead and then take a Dez Fitzpatrick at 169. But obviously, I don't know who was available or not during this draft. So if the Ravens view Terrace Marshall as a threat to their offense in terms of he can make things happen, he can help Lamar Jackson, best player available. It doesn't matter what position it is, and wide receiver is certainly a need for the Ravens, so I wouldn't be surprised again if Baltimore takes a receiver. I don't know if they'll take two, though. In this case, Terrace Marshall and Tamarion Terry are both taken, so I don't know if that will be the case. I'd be shocked if they do take two receivers, but both of those guys, Marshall Jr. and Terry, are electric receivers. Ben Cleveland and Dante Smith are both really good offensive linemen. Cleveland is one of the more underrated prospects in this draft, I think. He could go as high as, I think, the early middle of the second round, but here, snagged at 104, I like that a lot. And then Dante Smith is someone who could come in, and depending on what does happen with Orlando Brown Jr., we'll end up seeing in the coming weeks and months, but he could potentially move in and start, or he could learn under Orlando Brown if that's the case. And then Janarius Robinson, the Ravens do need some edge players. I expect them to fill that need out during free agency as well as the draft, so I do like this pick, especially the value here. And then Trey Brown, corner from Oklahoma, a very interesting prospect. I think corner is an underrated need, especially slot cornerback. So I think for the Ravens, this is, again, a very nice draft in terms of what Baltimore needs. A lot of needs are hit here. I think this is a good draft, although, again, I don't see the Ravens taking two wide receivers in this draft. The final mock draft from Time to Fly My Guy has the Ravens being super aggressive and is actually a simulation for the possible return of Orlando Brown Jr. and a few aggressive trades. So he has the Ravens trading a first round pick in 2022, a first round pick in 2023, a second round pick in 2022, and two more picks for pick 25 and 45, where he takes Javon Morrig at 25, and then at 27, he takes Azeez Ojulari, the edge out of Georgia. At 45, he takes Carlos Basham, the edge out of Wake Forest. At 65, he takes Joseph Osai, the edge out of Texas. And to get 65, he trades pick 58, around 3 in 2022, and around 7 in 2023, and receives pick 65 and 106. Then he trades around 3 in 2022 and another round 3 in 2022 for pick 72, where he takes Brevin Jordan, the tight end out of Miami, Dante Smith at 104, Quinn Miners at 106, Trey Sermon at 131, the running back out of Ohio State, Tamarion Terry, wide receiver from Florida State at 169, Jaime Clair-Rached Jr., the edge out of Oregon State at 184, and Master Teague III, the running back out of Ohio State at 211. So this is a bunch to sort through, and the comment he left on it was, "This mock was to simulate a possible value return for Orlando and a few aggressive trades given the amount of third-round compensatory picks due to come to the Ravens over the next 2 years. With the roster turnover over the next year, they need young drafted talent to maximize free agency in 2022. And so with this, the Ravens would make a ton of trades. And I'm assuming, I might be wrong here, but I'm assuming that the round one they would trade in 2022 could be for Orlando Brown Jr. That's the pick they receive. If not, I think it's a lot to give up for pick 25. If not, then the Ravens are pretty much getting a first round pick in 2021 anyway. So for the Ravens, it could be a lot to give up, especially if this isn't for the Orlando Brown trade. But if it is, I like it a lot more. But taking Morrig and Azeez Ojulari are two very nice picks. I don't know if Azeez Ojulari right now, to me, is a first-round prospect for the Ravens, but three edge players. Honestly, outside of Greg Rousseau, it's argued that 2, 3, 4 are Ojulari, Basham, and Osai, and all three of them are taken consecutively here. So that's a little crazy, and it could work, honestly, but Jaime Clair-Rached Jr. here also taken, and I don't see the Ravens taking four edge players. Obviously, all four of those guys are great players, but at 45, maybe taking Creed Humphrey instead of Carlos Basham, or at 27, maybe taking a guy like Elijah Vera Tucker if he's there. I mean, a bunch of different things could happen, but taking three edge players there, it's certainly an interesting approach, especially considering five of the six Ravens edge rushers are hitting free agency in 2021 here. Brevin Jordan, phenomenal pick at 72. I think he would be absolutely lethal in this Ravens offense. We talked about Dante Smith a little bit. Quinn Miners, another guy I really, really like and someone who could really help the Ravens in multiple aspects, whether it be at center or at guard. The Trey Sermon pick, the Master Teague the third pick, I don't like either of these. I like the Master Teague one a bit better because it's later down in the draft, but I don't think the Ravens need to draft another running back. I think J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill are the three guys the Ravens are going to roll with in 2021, maybe another veteran they pick up off the free agency pile, but I don't think the Ravens need another young running back. I think they have enough of those. And then Tamarion Terry we talked about a bit, and Hamakleir Rashad Jr. we talked about a bit as well. So a ton of trades going on, a nice simulation of what the return for Orlando Brown could look like in the form of some picks, and then also trading away some capital in future years, which is very aggressive, a very aggressive mock draft here. But some of the players taken here were exceptional, exceptional value. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we return, we'll be taking a look at some more mock drafts from Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our final segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still talking with you here. And now we're going to round out these mock drafts that we received on Twitter, starting off with Lowe's Paul, who has the Ravens taking Joseph Alsai at 27, the edge, Landon Dickerson at number 59, the interior offensive lineman, Tylan Wallace, wide receiver at 104, Brady Christensen, offensive tackle at 132, Caden Stearns, safety at 169, Delmador Lenoir, a corner at 184, and Taron Jackson, the edge player at 212. And so I'll start this one off like I've started off a couple of these mock drafts that I've looked at from Twitter, which, in terms of a wide receiver, at number 104, that's where I'd start looking for a wide receiver, at least where I'd be okay with Baltimore to start looking at a wide receiver. But I do think maybe switching 212 and 104, the edge and the wide receiver in terms of need fit, because the Ravens are going to have to do a couple of different things, or even the safety, even 169 with 104, where the Ravens can take a third round safety, and then they can take a guy like my guy Des Fitzpatrick at 169. So for the Ravens, again, outside of that, I think this is a great draft. Joseph Alsai is someone who I love. He's out of Texas, a really nice edge player, not overly developed yet, though. I think there is a lot of room for him to grow, and I don't think he's going to have this huge 10 sack immediate impact as a rookie, but certainly potential for 10 sack seasons. Landon Dickerson, outside of his injury history, is a phenomenal prospect, both for center and for guard. Wallace is a good receiver. I'm not saying Tylan Wallace isn't a good receiver. I just don't know where the value is in this pick with Baltimore. I think, again, taking a receiver at 169 instead of 104 is a better bargain for me, at least. Brady Christensen, I think this is a good place to take a tackle. I think 132 is a nice place to take a tackle because you can get a ton of talent at this pick, at the slot, at least in the area of 132. And then you don't necessarily have to force the guy you take into starting right away if Orlando Brown Jr. does leave, or even if he doesn't leave, just being able to have him learn again behind Orlando Brown Jr., that's really nice. Caden Stearns, I think, again, safety is a really underrated need. I like this pick. Delmador Lenoir is someone who can play both inside and outside, but I think he'd be great on the inside. And then Taron Jackson, that edge player, again, nice value there. So I like this mock draft a lot. Hits a lot of needs again. I think the positional value, the need value is good, but I might switch up again where the wide receiver is taken in this one. Next, we have a mock draft from I'm Ran, where he selects Micah Parsons, the linebacker, at pick number 27, Trey Smith, the interior offensive lineman, at pick 59, Marvin Wilson, interior defensive lineman, at 104, Rashad Weaver, an edge, at 132, Shai Smith, a wide receiver, at 169, Drake Jackson, interior offensive lineman, at 184, and Chauncey Golston, an edge, at 212. This, I think, is a phenomenal draft. Micah Parsons, let's just be clear with Micah Parsons here. He is not going to fall to 27. If Micah Parsons falls to 27, that should be the absolute number one, no questions asked pick. He is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal player. And sure, linebacker isn't the biggest need for the Ravens. They just drafted a linebacker in the first round last year. But Patrick Queen, Micah Parsons, and Malik Harrison together, that is a trio for the ages. Trey Smith is a great interior option at 59. Marvin Wilson, again, the Ravens' interior defensive line is getting a bit old, so picking a guy like a Marvin Wilson could really help both next season and beyond. Rashad Weaver's a nice value player. Shai Smith, I think, is a really nice player. He's one of the more intriguing prospects to me, at least, but his size and his speed, is that what Baltimore needs right now? I'm not so sure, so I'm going to try to do a little bit more research into Shai Smith and take a look at a bit more tape of him just to see if he's a lot like Hollywood Brown or not in some aspects, because honestly, you know, at this point, I have done some looking and done some research and watched some tape of some guys, but I haven't gotten around to every single guy in this draft process, and honestly, if we're talking every single guy, I probably never will. Most people never do, but I think that for the Ravens, Shai Smith could be an intriguing option. Drake Jackson, one of the better bargain picks in this draft, in my opinion, at 184, he's a steal. And Chauncey Golson, maybe I'd take a safety here instead. Take a flyer on a safety that could maybe play some immediate snaps for the Ravens. So we'll see what ends up happening. But overall, I love this draft. Micah Parsons would be a home run at 27. And the other needs throughout the draft are addressed for Baltimore really well. Finally here, we're going to take a look at a mock draft from Nick M. 106, where he has the Ravens taking Wyatt Davis, a guard, at 27, Creed Humphrey, a center from Oklahoma, at 58. He swings a trade for pick 69, where he takes Cade Johnson, a wide receiver, and then he also swings a trade for pick 71, where he takes Kendrick Green, a guard from Illinois, and that's where the draft cuts off. For this one, three offensive linemen out of four picks. It certainly goes along with what Baltimore was saying about retooling the offensive line in the offseason. Cade Johnson, for me, I'd replace him with an edge with maybe a safety as well. I don't think wide receiver at 69 is the best route to go. Cade Johnson is an intriguing prospect, but one that I don't think warrants Baltimore's consideration at 69. But I will say the combination of Davis and Humphrey is absolutely insane. You could potentially start both of those guys during week one of the 2021 season. They're that good. So in terms of Davis and Humphrey, that would be a killer 1-2 combo for the Baltimore Ravens. Cade Johnson, I'd maybe replace with an edge player or a safety. And then Kendrick Green at 71. I don't think the Ravens need to go with that many guards or centers in the first four picks that they have. So again, maybe a safety here. Maybe this is where the Ravens take a receiver. I think they could do a bunch of different things, even an offensive tackle at pick 71. So I do like the 1-2 combo. But in terms of Cade Johnson and Kendrick Green, I might replace the wide receiver and guard positions they both play respectively with bigger needs at that point in the draft. So that rounds out our first week of Mock Draft Monday. I know that, again, it's Friday and it's not Monday, but having these mock drafts to do throughout the week, taking a look at some different prospects, it's a really nice thing to do. And so I think I got to everybody's mock draft. There were a ton, and I really do thank everybody for submitting those mock drafts. And again, I'll be posting another mock draft on Sunday. So if you want to comment your mock drafts below that post, I will be getting to them throughout the entirety of next week. But that's all that I have for you today. When we get back here on Monday after our two-day hiatus, we'll be taking a look at some more mock drafts for another Mock Draft Monday. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.